In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Traditionally, this is the last day on which Orthodox eat dairy products until Pascha, until Easter. Last Sunday was the last day, traditionally, that Orthodox eat meat until Pascha. And on this day, we remember that we were expelled from paradise. Now, this being expelled from paradise and how we understand ourselves as having been before we were expelled from paradise and how we understand ourselves as being after we were expelled from paradise was misunderstood by St. Augustine. And St. Augustine misrepresented his misunderstanding of how human beings were before the fall and after the fall to the entire Western Christian world, both Roman Catholics and Protestants, and to the secular world. Many of us have begun to understand that this is, at least in terms of what used to be called Christendom, a post-Christendom era. It is a secular era. And what I'm saying is that not just Western Roman Catholics and Western Protestants misunderstand the nature of what it means to be a human being before and after the fall, but secular people also misunderstand. There is a complete misunderstanding on the part of virtually all of us, including most Orthodox, as to the nature of what it means to be human. The idea that what it means to be human is to be an individual person has carried the day. It is a fundamentally secular and anti-Christian idea. But people are convinced that that simply is the nature of things. It is as if there was no time before the fall. It is as if there was no time when we were one as human beings as God created us. We mistake Adam when we think back to the beginning and take our understanding of ourselves as isolated individuals, and we see in the Garden of Eden one man, one woman. Ah, like me and my wife, one individual person, Adam, and one individual person, Eve. And that one individual man sinned and all mankind fell. The way Augustine made sense of it was by saying, all over the earth, there are isolated human beings. That is what it means to be human. Augustine misunderstood our humanity as essentially fallen. He had no vision of what a human being might be like before he was fallen. And it is the same with us. But we were not created broken. We were not created divided from one another. And we are not so in Christ. God came and restored us as we were created to be, and he did that through and in Christ. Our one nature, our human nature, is restored to union with one another in Christ, as we were created in the beginning. We often mention the fall of Adam. We say that Adam sinned. Augustine says that all men sinned in Adam, that one person, that one individual. But what about Eve? We never say all sinned in Eve. What about Eve? Eve chose and Adam acted. And things were not different until they, in concert, together, acted. And after the fruit was chosen and eaten, then they were separated from one another. Then there was that isolation. Before, there was no such isolation. Adam and Eve were one. Human beings were created one. God created man, male and female. He created him. We are not created as an isolated individual. God saw that it would not be possible in time and space in the world for humankind to be like him if there were only the one. And so he brought forth Eve from within Adam, and they are still one. But with the fall, they become separated from one another. And that is our fallen condition. Augustine came as close as he could by saying, one man sinned and all men sinned in Adam. But it's not close enough. It's not the reality of things. We are not separate and alone and isolated from every other human being. We are in our fallen condition. But the reality is that that is not true. We are of one human nature. We are free as persons, as individual persons. And longing for oneness, we as fallen persons try to consume another person so that we can have the oneness of bringing others into ourselves. But this is an unholy effort to return to and restore a oneness that includes more than us ourselves in our fallen isolation. When we fall in love with someone, it is the first way we try to become one with them. We dominate them and feel one with them, but we have subjected them. And during the course of a long relationship, whatever relationship it is, whether friendship or marriage, we come to realize that this is another person, that it is unholy and wrong to attempt to consume this person into myself in order to feel one. And we do feel one, you know, when we successfully dominate and consume the personality of another person into ourselves, it feels good. There is a satisfaction. There is a sense of oneness with that person. But that person doesn't feel that oneness. That oneness of subjection to another person is not the kind of oneness that we were meant to have. We are free as persons. We are one by nature. Christ comes and he restores our oneness in human nature. He frees us in our person, our personality, to act in free virtue. We are free by acting in virtue. We are never free, though we feel emotionally, we feel free when we act in rebellious sin and do things that we know we ought not to do. Then we feel the isolation of the kind of freedom that Satan understands. God commanded us to fast from the fruit of a tree. And we ate. And we eat of that same tree. The knowledge that is a sinful knowledge. The knowledge that is unholy. The knowledge that it is possible to dominate other persons and feel a wholeness in our person as though we were God and God were different than God is. Because God is not one person consuming others. There is one God by nature, holy, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he creates us in his image and likeness. We are of one nature as human beings. And as to persons, we are many. When a person is born, it is not the birth of another isolated individual. When a person is born, it is the birth of a person who is beloved by all as a child of the human race in communion with God, but who does not yet know the conscious choice of something other than ourselves at one with one another in our nature. And so we see that the infant is pure in a way that we are not, and we have a nostalgia for a oneness that is different from the kind of oneness that we can achieve by domination. After the fall, in this world that we are born into, until the coming of Christ, we live in a world of death and corruption. Death and corruption surround us. But because Christ ascended the cross and destroyed the power of death over us to keep us from being one with one another, as we are meant to be one, as we are one in Christ, we are able to live in this world at one with one another through Christ and in communion with God. we are able to return to Him by calling on Him for His forgiveness. Forgiveness for our having lived as less than human. When many persons fuse together on the basis of a likeness of passions, they become an inhuman horror that contradicts our oneness in human virtue and freedom with God. It is possible for us to fuse ourselves together with others of like passion, and we feel again a kind of oneness, a kind of anti-holy oneness that isolates us from anyone who is of a different passion. And other groups unite themselves to one another on the basis of some common passion. And those groups of people, each feeling superior to all the others, with their sense of oneness in their union by passion, hate and despise one another. And they condemn one another as less than we ought to be as human beings. That too is a kind of oneness that we have to abandon, that we have to repent of, in order to return to the restored oneness that we have only in Christ. Only in Christ do we have a oneness that does not contradict others on the basis of some preference of a passion that dominates us. The passion to be free of others, or certain others, or certain kinds of others. That too is a passion that separates us from our true nature in Christ. By forgiveness, by asking God for His forgiveness, for this separation of ourselves from others, the condemnation of others, for asking God to forgive us because we have not forgiven others, because we have not done the least of things for others, because we have considered them as foreign to ourselves, and that is the basis upon which we will be judged at the last judgment. Whoever has treated the least of these as me, Christ says, has done so to me. If you forgive others, God will forgive you. If you do not forgive others, if you unite yourself to a group of people by way of your common passions and condemn others and do not forgive them their trespasses, then God will not forgive you. It is not possible. It could not be. It's because it would be a contradiction of the reality of the fact that we are not separate from others. We are one, and when we condemn others, we are condemning others of our own kind. We are fallen into the same sins, or sins that are related. The sins that we abhor, that we detest in others, are sins that we have not dealt with in ourselves. This is how we deal with one another. And it separates us from one another in every kind of way. And we ask God to forgive us. And we ask one another to forgive us. This is why we begin with what we call Forgiveness Sunday. We ask this forgiveness individually of everyone, every person, because we are separated by a commitment to our fallenness as though it were our true nature. We ask each person for forgiveness. And the response, whether it is implied, and usually it is implied, when we forgive one another at the end of the forgiveness vespers, we come, we do the prostration as best we are able, or not. If it's not medically indicated, don't do it. Don't hurt your body by doing a prostration. Be humble enough to not do it. We do the prostration. We ask, forgive me. And the response, whether it's said or whether it's implied, and I'm saying usually it is implied, but it is there. That response is, and I'm going to ask you to respond to me that way here at the end of this sermon, God forgives us all. God forgives us all. And we dare not break that forgiveness by refusing to forgive another. And so we ask one another, forgive me. God forgives us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.